Listen for the Coconut Creek Auto Mall hourly training camp updates on the ticket. Coconut Creek Auto Mall, friendly and knowledgeable at the price you want. Also sponsored by Sandbar Grill in Coconut Grove, home of the Fish Taco. Named Best Sports Bar of 2017 by the Miami New Times. By Concierge Men's Wellness, EDPE got you sidelined. Get back in the game. ConciergeMens.com and by Lexus of North Miami. An amazing automotive experience. The Fins are underway on AM 790 and FM 104.3, HD2, The Ticket. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket as we approach the 9 o'clock hour. Greg Likens filling in for Josh Friedman. We'll be taking up till 10 o'clock. Bronk on the other side of the glass as we've been talking Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick. That has been the bulk of the conversation, and rightfully so. As I mentioned, coming up very shortly, we're going to talk some Jason Taylor as well. But let's get back out to the phone lines at 786-360-0790. That's how you can get involved. You can also text the show at 67974. That's 67974. You can hit me up on Twitter at Greg Likens. Let's go to Juan, who's on US 1. Juan, thanks for calling the show. How are you doing tonight?
Good, very well. Thank you. You're nice job sitting in.
Thanks, Juan.
By the way, I just wanted, you know, I guess I'm one of those so-called Cuban, you know, most of us that they call Cuban Americans were really born here because this whole Castro thing was, you know, almost what, 60, 70 years ago? So I was born prior to it happening, but my parents are Cuban, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, I enjoy the peace and luxury of having been born here, but my parents left there to make them a better life here. Their parents sent them here.
Understood. So how do you feel, Juan, as it relates to Kaepernick?
I guess, of people. And if this guy comes in and wins, you know, forgiveness comes very easily, and memories are very short. You know, winning does a lot for everything. It heals all pains, you know. All discussions come to an end when you know, we get back to talking football. If we actually have a quarterback that plays and plays well, as opposed to talking about other things that really don't, you know, we're not talking about our team, our defense, how our defensive line is going to be different from this year. We're just worried about something that we can't control right now. And it's in their hands, and they know who the best quarterback is out there,
right,
as does everyone else.
And that's going to be to see where the decision's made. Hey, Juan, thank you so much for the call. You have a good night, all right?
Not at all. You too. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you. There you go. Juan giving us a call saying Cuban-American, but he's at least according to him, one man's opinion, he says, hey, as long as somebody comes in and wins and plays well, you forget about all the other factors involved. Let's get to more of your phone calls in just a moment. But before we do that and then talk some Jason Taylor, let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket. WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
The Ryan Tannehill injury situation continues to dominate headlines across the National Football League. Today, Adam Gase briefly addressed the media and revealed that the team is considering all options for the quarterback's injured left knee, including season-ending surgery, but no decision has been made at this time. Meanwhile, Gase declared Matt Moore as the team's quarterback right now, but according to the Miami Herald and multiple other reports, the Dolphins have already been reaching out to veteran signal callers, including the retired Jay Cutler. And there have been more reports tonight indicating that Jay Cutler is interested in the Dolphins. We will continue to update you on this tonight and throughout the weekend here on 790 The Ticket. Meanwhile, after a day off, the Marlins are back in action this evening as they open up a weekend series in Atlanta against the Braves. And right now it's in the top of the sixth inning at SunTrust Park, and it's 1-1. Marlins and Braves are tied up. The scoring for the Marlins came courtesy of a Giancarlo Stanton solo home run. That's his major league leading 34th home run. He's tied with Aaron Judge. They both have 34 home runs, but it's been a tremendous season for Stanton, and it continues with another powerful exertion and performance tonight. So we'll keep you updated until 10 o'clock when we go off the air on the score of this one. And finally, in the NBA, Doc Rivers is leaving his front office role with the Clippers and instead will focus on his primary duty as the team's head coach. And former Heat forward Luke Babbitt has agreed to a one-year deal with the Atlanta Hawks. And those are your headlines. All right, let's continue on here, and we'll get to some more of your text messages in just a moment. We do have somebody who's very nice who is chiming in. I didn't see the beginning of this text, but it says, to go with the previous caller, Rick, I also enjoy Greg's take because I think he does a good job of summing things up. He's the reason I listen because of familiarity. Well, thank you. Whoever that is, I appreciate you tuning in when I'm on the air. And for those of you who want to hear more, I update my Twitter account. You can follow me on Twitter. That'll let you know when I'm going to be on the show. Let's go out to the phone lines and let's go to Miami. Where is this, Lewis or Luis? Who we got here? Lewis?
Lewis.
Lewis, how you doing, Lewis? What's going on tonight?
Not too bad, brother. Just jumped in my truck. I don't know if you guys have addressed it at all, but I just had a brief question. Why hasn't Tony Romo's name been kind of thrown out there in the sense of a possible replacement? I mean, I'm cool with Matt Moore. I think he's the number one option right now. I would still take him over Cutler, but just haven't heard Tony Romo's name been thrown into the mix at all. Is there a specific reason, or maybe just not interested, or I just would love to hear your take on it.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting with that, Lewis, is that, you know, when Romo ultimately retired and took the job at CBS, we heard him connected to potentially returning to the Cowboys, like if Dak Prescott got injured. And that was the real connection we had heard. I hadn't heard him connected to other scenarios, although his name was brought up, you know, earlier in the offseason. As it relates to the Dolphins, Cutler's name is the hot name right now because he and Adam Gase worked together in Chicago in 2015. And then Kaepernick seems to come up second because he would appear to be the most talented quarterback available. And then Romo, I really haven't heard much momentum attaching him to the Dolphins for whatever reason. And I don't know if he'd be interested because part of it would be him having to come in and learn an entirely new system. I don't even know physically if his back is fully recovered. So that's probably why we haven't heard as much about Tony Romo, but I'm sure if he were interested, the Dolphins would find out about it and would at least explore that possibility.
Oh, makes all the sense, man. I appreciate the insight, man.
Yeah, and Lewis, I don't know if you're a Marlins fan or not, but Giancarlo Stanton just went yard again. So we got that going for us.
So he's definitely leading the league, man. I went to the home run derby, actually. I had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, Lewis, thanks for the phone call. Have a good night, all right?
You too, man. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, Stanton just hit a two-run bomb. It was a no-doubter. R.A. Dickey went down like on his knee. It was just like, oh, no. He had that reaction, the body language. You could tell he literally just everything sunk. He's like, oh. That's a goner. That's a no-brainer, a no-doubter there. So I had asked everybody earlier, and we've been, you know, rightfully so, we've been really inundated in this Ryan Tannehill Dolphins quarterback talk, but I am curious to know people's thoughts and opinions on Jason Taylor as it pertains to your favorite memory or moment from his career with the Miami Dolphins, because tomorrow he is going into the Hall of Fame. He'll be the 10th member of the Dolphins to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That group includes, of course, Dan Marino, Nick Bonacani, Dwight Stevenson, Larry Little, Bob Greasy, Larry Zonka, Jim Langer, Paul Warfield, and Don Shula. I want to read this text here. Ace in Wisconsin says, it's hard to pick just one Jason Taylor moment as a favorite, but what comes to mind is that he was Brady's kryptonite. Every game seemed that JT had something extra for him. And it's interesting you bring that up because Jason Taylor sacked Tom Brady more times than any other quarterback. 11.5 sacks in 20 career games against Brady. And at the time that Taylor retired in 2011, Brady had been sacked more times by Taylor than any other defensive player. So, yes. And I'm going to tell you about a Brady-JT connection in just a moment. But I want to read, we got a couple of tweets that came in. I tweeted this out. If you want to chime in via Twitter, at Greg Likens. Let's see. Daniel on Twitter says, regards to favorite Jason Taylor memory, when he almost won Dancing with the Stars. I sense just a hint of sarcasm there, but that's a good one there from Daniel. Matt on Twitter says, his famous Jordan leap into the end zone. The cool thing about him doing that Jordan leap was, one, when he had like a pick six or he returned a fumble for a touchdown, was that he is such a good athlete that he had enough separation that he could do that he could do the Jordan Jumpman celebration while he was crossing the goal line because he had enough. It wasn't like he was worried about somebody catching him from behind. And also, you know how cool that is that you do that celebration while you have a sponsorship endorsement deal with the Jordan brand. I mean, does it get any better than that? You're being paid by the greatest basketball player of all time and his brand, and then you're doing that celebration. Matt, that's a good one right there. Rob on Twitter says, I used to love when he would pick off a pass and take it to the house. Yeah, and just in general, and I'm going to go over some of those numbers in just a moment, but certainly those are good submissions there. David says, the INT return for a TD against the Vikings in 2006, Jumpman celebration, live in Boston and live in Boston, and he says, I make one game a year, Jason Taylor finished the game. Yeah, so you make one game a year, you go to that one. That's terrific. I had jotted that one down because he did that against the Vikings that year, and yeah, that finished the game. So good memory there from David, and especially I would imagine that's an indelible memory if you were there to witness it. Brian says the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's a memorable one where he scored a touchdown in that one as well. Evan says, I can tell you my least favorite ever here. He wasn't on the Dolphins. My favorite, saw him in person pick off Rex Grossman for the pick six. That the pick six against Rex Grossman and the Bears, that came in 2006 in Chicago. And that's, I think, one of the more iconic memories slash highlights that you'll see. Jason Taylor picking off Grossman, and it was deep in Bears territory. And then he makes a move. So he picks him off like in the flat, and then Grossman tries to make the tackle. He jukes Grossman to make matters worse for the quarterback and then takes it in the end zone. And that may have been his signature play from what ultimately was the season in which he won the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award. So great submission there. We got some more coming in, which I'll read in a moment. But I did want to go over his career stats. 139 and a half sacks, which is seventh all time. And by the way, of the six players who have more sacks than him, five of them are in the Hall of Fame. And the sixth is Julius Peppers, who's still playing. So it goes to show you, I mean, you know, based on the stat of sacks, he's right up there with the best of them. He had 131 of those in a Dolphins uniform, which is a team record. He had 47. I'd seen 47. I'd seen 48 somewhere else. Either way, nearly 50 forced fumbles in his career. 29 of those were recovered. That's an NFL record. He tied an NFL record with that. He had 8 interceptions, 94 pass breakups, 9 career defensive touchdowns. 6 of those were fumble recoveries returned for touchdowns, which is an NFL record. He holds that on his own. He also had 3 safeties. He was a 6-time Pro Bowler. As I mentioned, the 2006 NFL Defensive Player of the Year and also the 2007 Walter Payton Man of the Year, which, you know, you could argue, depending on your perspective on things, maybe the most impressive accomplishment that he had over his time, because that's not just being a very good player, but that also has a lot to do about the person and the community charity work that you do. Specifically as it pertained to South Florida. So, man, just an unbelievable career, and so happy to see him be enshrined tomorrow night. I can't wait to hear his speech. I think that's going to be awesome. Especially, you know, I always love watching the Hall of Fame speeches anyway. It's just cool to hear which players thank who, right? I mean, whether it be people we'd never heard of before and tell the story about how somebody, you know, push them down the right path, or somebody helped them here, somebody helped them there. I think that's fun to listen to, but also which specific teammates they point out and guys they had close bonds with. And you often find out a behind the scenes story that you had no idea led to the success that this particular player had in his career. And with Jason Taylor, I've had a chance to be around him a good amount over the course of my time being in media in South Florida. And so this has an even extra personal feel to it. And I've teased this a little while, and I mentioned the first segment I was going to get to it. So you guys ready? I got this story. Bronk has been intrigued, I can tell, or at least he's humoring me that he's intrigued.
No, I'm intrigued.
Okay. So a couple years back when I was working as the host of the Finsiders, part of my role there was not just to host that show every day, but I would also, and in addition to doing game day stuff and everything, I would also MC events for season ticket holders. And so there was one particular event where Jason Taylor was the featured guest. And so I interviewed him for about an hour in front of a group of, I don't know, a couple hundred people or so. So Coincidentally, if there is anybody from that audience that was there who is listening tonight, you have heard this story before. But I'll tell the story anyway because it's a terrific one. I'm sure there's many out there that have not heard the story. But this is how Jason Taylor told the story, and I'm going to try to do my best to do it justice. But I asked him about Jimmy Johnson, if he had a good Jimmy Johnson story. And the tie-in here is that Jimmy Johnson is presenting him to go into the Hall of Fame tomorrow night. And Jimmy Johnson was the guy that drafted him in the third round out of Akron in 1997. So as JT describes it, it was his third season or thereabouts. The Dolphins were a few games into the campaign, and he was off to a slow start. He didn't have any sacks. So there was a normal team meeting that took place during the week where everybody's in the room. Offense, defense, special teams, the entire roster is there. And JT was sitting in the back of the room, already mad at himself. You know, any of these players who are entering the Hall of Fame, they've got a competitive fire and a streak that's in them that, you know, burned to make them be as great as they were. And JT, especially considering the odds that he overcame to not only make the NFL, but to be a Hall of Famer, you know, he's one of the most fiery competitors there's ever been. So he was already upset at himself because he had a lack of productivity early in this season. So imagine this, everybody's waiting for Jimmy Johnson to start this meeting, and he walks into the front of the room, JT's sitting in the back corner, and Jimmy Johnson says this, looks around and goes, "Has anyone seen Jason Taylor?" And JT says from the back of the room, kind of quietly, "I'm here." Jimmy repeats, "Has anyone seen Jason Taylor?" So JT is sitting in the back saying, "What the heck's this guy talking about?" So he raises his voice a little bit louder and says, "I'm here, coach." Raises his hand. Jimmy pauses, looks around the room, and again repeats, "Has anyone seen Jason Taylor?" JT, at this point, is getting annoyed. He stands up in the back of the room, and he's 6'6", you know, so you can't miss him, and says even louder, "I'm here, coach," and he raises his hand. Jimmy takes a long pause and finally says, breaking the silence, "If anyone sees Taylor, tell him the season began 4 weeks ago." And Jimmy Johnson's message was sent. And he did that in front of the entire team. And so Jason Taylor, as he tells it, I mean, now he can laugh about it. At the time, he said he was absolutely ticked off. And that's my phrase for it. I'm not going to tell you exactly how he described it. But, you know, he hadn't been productive, and he knew that he hadn't been productive, but that's part of the way that Jimmy Johnson operated. He was a master motivator. And so that, to me, will stand out as one of, if not the favorite story of mine regarding Jason Taylor, because he told that story to a small group of people, told it to me, and I'm sure he's told other people that are close to him. But imagine, a guy in his third season, starting off slow at the time. We didn't know how good or great Jason Taylor would become. And Jimmy Johnson's like, "Hey, number 99, where the heck are you? Wake up." And did that in front of everybody. Can you imagine? A future Hall of Famer. And all these years later now, he's going to be enshrined. And Jimmy Johnson, the guy who called him out, embarrassed him in front of everybody, will be the one who is presenting him to go into the Hall of Fame.
How awesome would it be if, like, during the present him tomorrow, he says that, like, "Has anyone seen Jason Taylor?" Like, that would be so awesome. Like, "Yeah, I heard that story yesterday." That would be so awesome if they did that. That would be, like, that would be a great scene to see.
That would be cool. I don't know if that'll happen. And the interesting thing about the presenters in these cases is they no longer do the live speech. They have a video recording. Then they're up on stage and ultimately unveil the bust with the Hall of Famer, and then the Hall of Famer speaks. So we won't have any off-the-cuff remarks from Jimmy Johnson, but certainly that one stands out to me above the rest. So we'll take more of your submissions. I'm getting more tweets here. If you want to send those in, at Greg Likens, your favorite memory of Jason Taylor. And I've got a few more that I've written down that I'll get to as well. We'll describe those coming up next. Also, you can text those in at 679-74, 67974. More Jason Taylor Hall of Fame talk next here on 79 of the Tick. The Ticket and Publix, where shopping is a pleasure, present the 5th Annual Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital Kids Love and Family Expo, Saturday, September 16th at the Museum of Discovery and Science in downtown Fort Lauderdale, featuring over 75 activities for kids, celebrity meet and greets, character photo ops, and more. Sponsored by the law firm of Anajar & Levine. Accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. For tickets and more info, log on to theticketmiami.com. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens with you, filling in for Josh Friedman. Bronk on the other side of the glass. Hope you're doing well on this Friday night. In case you missed it, earlier in the show, about 7 o'clock, we had Adam Beasley join the program. We're going to have that conversation again for you coming up next. So we're going to replay that in just a few minutes, as he gave us insight on Ryan Tannehill, Matt Moore, Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, and, of course, Jason Taylor entering the Hall of Fame. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But I do want to read some more of the texts and the tweets that we're getting. By the way, Marlins now trail 4-3, as you had Nick Markakis from the Braves just hit a 3-run homer. So there you go. Yeah, exactly. This should be Giancarlo Stanton's night, but right now they might not even win the game. So we'll see what happens there. Want to read, let's see, Edgar on Twitter says, sack, heart, and bum. And so I think that what he is referring to is that Jason Taylor, one of his, outside of like the jump man into the end zone, one of his signature celebrations was drawing the outline of a heart with his fingers and then punching through it. So I like to call that the heartbreak sack celebration. So there you go. Good one from Edgar. Marcus says his heartbreaker sack dance. There you go. Everybody's on the same page with that. Kevin on Twitter says, I was at the show with Jason Taylor you're talking about. You and I spoke after the event, and you mentioned me on the Finsiders. There you go, Kevin.
What a beautiful moment.
Been a few years. Good to hear from you on Twitter. You know, social media these days, it connects everybody. So appreciate you tuning in, Kevin. Good stuff. Matthew on Twitter just chimed in with, said, I saw him sack Tebow. It was my first game, and I was with my dad, and I got to see him do his signature celebration that I grew up watching. Really cool there. Somebody else here says, that's a great story you told about JT, and I think it points to the potential that Coach Johnson saw in Taylor. And if you remembered, it was Johnson who really drafted him. That's right. I mean, Jimmy Johnson believed in him, gave him his first chance, and I think the texter makes a really good point that he believed in JT, and that's the reason why. Like, he wasn't going to call out some random guy who's at the end of the depth chart. Like, but he knew Jason Taylor had it in him to be great, and so that's why he called him out.
I mean, he only went on the next year to have 12 and a half more sacks.
Yeah.
You know, and like 13 more tackles, so hey.
In that third season, he didn't end up having a very good year overall, but you're right. I mean, after that, I mean, the message got through, that's for sure. Ace in Wisconsin chimes in via Twitter now. So we're on both. He says, great story about JT and Jimmy. You can visualize that scene and makes for great radio. Those stories are priceless. Everyone is a gem. Fins up. Yeah. Another story that I was thinking of with Jason Taylor is, you know, mentioning the fact that the Jets game, you know, he played for the Jets and then came back and finished his career with the Dolphins. He'd been with the Redskins, the Jets, and back with the Dolphins. And the Jets game at home was his final game ever as an NFL player. They won, they beat the Jets, and then his teammates carried him off the field on their shoulders. I mean, that's a great moment. Another one here says, my favorite JT moment is when I knocked him out of a poker tournament at the Hard Rock. I participated in his ping pong, charity ping pong tournaments over the years as well, so that's always been fun. Somebody here says, I had a friend who played with the Dolphins for a few years, and I never bugged him for anything, but I did give him my JT jersey to sign, and he did. So glad I asked for that one favor. There you go. Now he's a Hall of Famer. Another one says, my favorite moment was when he returned a fumble for a touchdown against the Jets when he came back from playing with the Jets. I was there. It was here at home, and he got an IV after the game. You know what's interesting? There was also earlier in his career a Jets game up there in the Meadowlands, or, you know, whichever stadium it was at the time, but where JT returned a fumble like 50 yards for a touchdown and had to make a nice move with the ball in his hands. And then he gets in the end zone with the whole defense flanking him because they're all ahead of the play there and all anticipated it. And in the end zone, he was celebrating and then he took the football and just fired it at the Jets logo that was up on the wall as if to say, like, screw you guys kind of thing. That was an iconic moment as well for Jason Taylor over the course of his career. So
funny thing, though, like every time you see him like recover a fumble or pick the ball off, like he ran that ball like he was a running back. Like he had moves. Like Jason Taylor wasn't just some big guy. Like Jason Taylor was like a serious athlete. Serious athlete.
Yeah, for sure. And the funny thing is, I mean, talking to OJ McDuffie, who joined the show last night, he said when JT got there, he was like, is this guy playing receiver or tight end? Like he doesn't look like a defensive lineman, but just goes to show you. In a way, he kind of redefined the position as well. And I hate to do this for Dolphins fans because this seems like it would be, I don't know, the opposite of what you'd want to hear because we all hate Tom Brady, right? But Tom Brady, this story came out during the offseason, and maybe you didn't catch this, but how about the fact that Tom Brady wrote, Jason Taylor didn't know about it, but he wrote to the Hall of Fame voters a letter on behalf of Jason Taylor and his candidacy. And he said, I'm just going to read a small part of it before we go to break here. He says, the games against Jason are some of my most, and he says, parentheses, well, maybe least, memorable. He is one of the greatest opponents I've ever faced, having had the pleasure, in parentheses, in quotations, of looking across the line and seeing him on the opposite side of the ball, not once, but twice each season for a decade. While I entered the league with a healthy respect for Jason and the incredibly talented Miami defense he led, my admiration for him as a player and a person only continued to grow with each play, each game, each season. The word I typically use to describe Jason was tenacious. His effort was second to none. Regardless of the situation, Jason came after me with the same reckless abandon on each and every snap, getting to his target often. I remember hearing once that he sacked me more than any other quarterback in the NFL, a painful badge of honor for myself. Jason was incredible against the run as well and never took a playoff. And so then he went on, I mean, that's just a snippet of it, but Tom Brady, on behalf of an opponent, wrote into the Hall of Fame. I don't know how much of an impact that made, but in terms of how they voted, but that's a really classy gesture on Tom Brady's part.
Oh, yeah, for me, my favorite moments was, it started with da-na-na, da-na-na, Jason Taylor sack on Tom Brady. Because, like, I live in Atlanta most of my life, so I didn't really get to see a lot of, like Dolphins games, you know, especially being a Seahawks fan. I was trying to find a Seahawks game online somewhere. But yeah, my favorite moments were always da-na-na, da-na-na, Jason Taylor, sack on Tom Brady. Because yeah, no matter where you're at, you don't like Tom Brady.
There you go. I think we can all agree on that. But with that being said, cool move by Tom Brady and great submissions by everybody in terms of your memories of Jason Taylor. And congrats to JT from everybody here in South Florida and on 790 The Ticket. Speaking of Canton, Ohio, up next, we're going to check in with Adam Beasley, who's there covering the ceremonies this weekend. That's coming up next here on 790 The Ticket. Fantasy football players, win your league. Come to The Ticket's third annual Anajar and Levine John Clayton Fantasy Football Camp with special guest CBSSports.com's Jamie Eisenberg. Saturday night, August 26th at Sport of Kings at Gulfstream Park from 6 to 9 p.m. It's free. And win some exclusive one-on-one time with John Clayton is Saturday afternoon. Just register now at theticketmiami.com. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Sponsored by East Coast Public Adjusters and by Gun World of South Florida. For more details on attending for free, go to theticketmiami.com. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket. Hope everybody is having a terrific Friday evening. Greg Likens filling in for Josh Friedman. And so much to get into involving the Dolphins. Initially, we thought it was going to be a glorious weekend with Jason Taylor entering the Hall of Fame, but of course, all eyes on the quarterback situation now for the Dolphins. For more on that, let's go to Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, is 790 The Ticket's Dolphins insider, and he joins us right now from Canton, Ohio, on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. They are truly steps beyond convenient. Bees, always good to catch up, man. I don't know, you go to Ohio and everything goes crazy down here in South Florida. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, I'm going to date myself. I feel like a little bit like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I come back and all of a sudden, what, the Tennessee Titans exist? What, Ryan Tannehill, he might be out for the season. What is going on? It's kind of a news vortex here. We're in a black hole of information because obviously we're not on the ground and everything we're getting is kind of second and third hand, but it's jaw-dropping, absolutely jaw-dropping. Turn events for the Dolphins after being so sure that his knee was fine, the worst case scenario seems to have come to fruition.
It does. And as you're referencing, I mean, the last 36 hours or so have been a roller coaster ride for everyone connected to the Dolphins, including media and fans. as it relates to Tannehill's injury and the fate really of the quarterback position for the 2017 season. So before we dive into all the details and storylines and replacements and this and that, how have you experienced the last 36 hours being in Ohio, being en route to Ohio as all this is happening?
Yeah, the funny thing is I was boarding my flight when all these tweets start blowing up on my phone and I start getting texts and I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? Well, and then I saw the video on NFL Network. I'm like, oh, that's what happened. His knee locked up and hyperextended and he might be in serious trouble. So I don't know what to tell you, like, other than this. Very rarely do you see a quarterback get hurt in training camp. I mean, preseason injuries are very rare for quarterbacks. They never put them at risk very much. But training camp, they wear those red or black jerseys depending on the team for a reason. They're not to be touched. This tells me that this is beyond a fluke incident, that this is all connected, obviously, to the prior injury. There is instability in that knee. I'm not a doctor, but I've read enough and I've talked to enough people who are doctors that say that they can't see a way in which they're not all connected. And it makes you wonder did the Dolphins make the right move back in December when Ryan got hurt the first time to go the rehab route? I know it's, playing Monday morning quarterback, particularly with a medical issue, is never a safe play. And I obviously trust the judgment of doctors more than anyone else. But to play the result a little bit here, it worked out awful. I mean, this is the worst case scenario. It really was when they put this plan in place, and now they're scrambling. They're talking about guys like Jay Cutler and Matt Morris starting the season, and all those playoff hopes, all that Super Bowl talk they were talking about, both privately and some even publicly, sweeping the Patriots. That's what Jarvis Landry wanted to do. I don't know how many games this team wins if Ryan Tannehill is not their quarterback.
Yeah, it's certainly casts a really gray cloud now over the organization and this season. And you were referencing this. I agree. I mean, with the information that's out there that's been reported and, we're led to believe that, they talked to all of the best medical experts available. But as you just referenced, should we be second-guessing what they did here in terms of him not having the reconstructive surgery?
Now, we don't know the conversations that went on in that building. We don't know if they went to Ryan and said, hey, here are your options. One's got some risk involved, but it'll fast-track your return. And Ryan's like, I'm going to take my own career in my own hands and say, I'm going to say no to surgery and go forward. We don't know the specifics as to what happened. They all say it was a joint decision. They were all on board, obviously, and they had a plan in place. Again, you wonder how a knee that was supposedly 100%, no limitations back in the spring, one ill-advised scramble can undo all that work. It makes you shake your head. And what more than anything, it makes your heart goes out for Ryan, because there's a human being involved here that his entire world just got turned upside down in the last 36 hours, as you mentioned. And he probably doesn't know which way is up right now. And he actually might know too much information. He was totally involved in the rehab. And didn't he have a degree in pre-med, or wasn't he going down that road at some point at A&M? He knows a little bit something about medicine. He may know too much here, and I wouldn't want to be in a position, to say the least.
You're right. Psychologically, it's got to be really difficult for him. Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, and of course, the 7-9 of the Tickets Dolphins insider, joining us here this evening as we discuss the Ryan Tannehill situation. So I think bottom line is, regardless of whether he opts to have this surgery and ends the season or whether he decides to rehab again, he's going to miss some extended period of time. So is Matt Moore the guy, or should we believe now all these reports about Jay Cutler and his connection with Adam Gase?
Well, you believe anything until it's proven wrong, I guess, in this business, because nothing would shock you at this point. I think in the pecking order of who your likely starting quarterback will be week one of the season, it would go Matt Moore one, Jay Cutler two, and then a far way down to be Colin Kaepernick for a bunch of reasons, and not the least of which the strong Cuban-American population here. His comments about Fidel went over like a lead balloon when he made them. I don't know if that's the greatest fit. From a football standpoint, I think he is probably your best option. But there are, and there are absolutely some other considerations at play here. We're going to kind of see how much Steve Ross is going to go to bat for a guy. Adam Gase, I don't know if you'd rather have, if Jay Cutler be his number one choice, those are the reports, or not. a really wild dynamic, and I'm sure there are some high-level conversations going on right now. Can we handle the hit of bringing Kaepernick in here? Is Cutler worth the risk? Do we give him big money? Is Matt Moore our best option? This weeks like this are the reason Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer, and Adam Gase are paid at the level they are, because they really are going to determine the future of the franchise in the next probably day or two. They're going to figure out who's going to be their quarterback, have to obviously understand what the health of Ryan Tannehill is. But this is it. This is their moment to really shine, and I'm fascinated to see how this plays out.
Yeah, you're right, and unenviable position to be in with them having to make these high-level decisions. But with that being said, assuming they do bring in some sort of veteran presence at the quarterback position to provide
depth. Yeah, I don't see how they can't bring in. I don't see how they can't bring in somebody.
Right.
I mean, it's not Jay Cutler. It's going to be somebody they'll bring in.
But in that scenario, do you envision them having an open competition, or do you think that there could be a situation where if it's Cutler specifically, where they just say, "Hey, it's your job," and then Matt Moore becomes the backup again?
How would that play in the locker room?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, because right, because Gase preaches competition.
Right, and not only that, Matt Moore got into the playoffs last year. I mean, yeah, I know they were whatever they were until Ryan got hurt. I can't do the math in my head, 8-5, whatever they were until Ryan got hurt. But Matt won some key games for them, and he has been in this locker room since 2011, and he is beloved on this team. There's a reason they've kept him around as long as they have. So how do you turn around and go to the Mike Pouncey's of the world and say, you know what, this Matt Moore guy, he's going back to the bench, even though this is the moment that we've been preparing him for all along. I mean, it's again, it's a dynamic that they never wanted to experience, they never wanted to have to figure out, and it's going to determine a lot. Here's a question for you. Ryan Tannehill, will he have to take a pay cut to come back in 2018 if he is significantly hurt? If he is out for the season, are they going to bring him back on $20 million in 2018? I know they're not thinking about that now. They're totally in the present, trying to get through the year, trying to salvage a season where they were kind of built to compete this year. This is a team that made the playoffs last year, one of the more talented offenses you'll find. But what's the long-term plan for your starting quarterback? Do you want to go into year 7 still not really knowing what you have because he hasn't been healthy? He will not have taken a snap in 21 months by that point. There's just so much to unravel here, and there's just so much to discuss. My head's swimming, man. It really is.
I'm with you, and I know that last night you tweeted out his contract situation, a picture of that, to give everybody an idea of what they owe him and what it would cost them to get out of the contract. So along the same lines of what you just mentioned, is it possible that we could have seen Ryan Tannehill play his last game in a Dolphins uniform?
Oh, there's no question it's possible. I don't know if it's likely, but it's I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but it's well above zero. If he is out for the season, if he needs reconstructive surgery, and he doesn't want to take a restructure, and Adam Gase in February, March looks around the landscape and says, you know what, we can get better through the draft, we can get better through free agency, we can get better through a trade, and we don't have to take the risk of a guy whose knee is given out twice now at $20 million, I mean, these things happen, and it's just the nature of football and non-guaranteed contracts that they structure this deal in a way that the Dolphins can get out of it in February or March if they want to.
Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald and 7 out of the tickets, Dolphins Insider. And to your point, I mean, it's crazy to think that it was just a few days ago that, you know, Ryan Tannehill's flying high. Everybody feels great, not just about his comfort level in the offense, but also the leadership steps that he's taking and being a vocal guy in the locker room and in the huddle. And now just a few short days later, we could be talking about him no longer playing for the Dolphins. It's crazy, isn't it?
You know, it's wild. I saw someone on Twitter was out in Vegas, and the Wynn Casino took the Dolphins over-under on wins off the board because there's just that much uncertainty. And it's and you're right. You woke up yesterday, and all was right with the world. You're going to wake up tomorrow and not know who the Dolphins' starting quarterback will be in 2017. It's jaw-dropping, and it's kind of unprecedented. We haven't seen this. People who have been on the beat, like my colleague Armando Saguero, for decades, can't remember the last time a starting quarterback got hurt during training camp. We're in uncharted territory. Yes, injuries happen during the season. You have to make adjustments. But to go not even at preseason week one yet and not know what's going on at quarterback, it really is unprecedented.
Well, I don't want this conversation to be dominated all about Ryan Tannehill, because you were in Canton covering Jason Taylor's Hall of Fame induction weekend, and I know you spoke to him this afternoon. How is he feeling about everything that comes with this weekend, friends and family and everybody being there?
Yeah, nervous as hell is what he said. He's got to get up on a podium tomorrow in front of 20-some thousand people and in a nationally televised audience and pour his heart out. I mean, he guaranteed he's going to cry tomorrow. He's going to be bawling like a baby. People who don't know his story, it's remarkable. I mean, he is truly, not cliche, a rags-to-riches success story. He came from nothing in Pittsburgh. I was talking today, I'm on the story online, MiamiHerald.com soon. When he was in college, he and his buddies would have to wait outside of McDonald's and wait to see what they would toss because they were hungry. That's the way they saved money, is they ate leftovers. They would go on road trips and not know if they had enough money to get back. They didn't have gas money. Now turn around and look, and he is one of 10 Dolphins players or coaches to go into the Hall of Fame. It is a remarkable story. It's one people should tune in and watch tomorrow. It'll make you feel good about being a Dolphins fan in this time when there's not a lot to feel good about. And it really reminds you of the greatness of the player. And I suggest you tune in.
Yeah, I can't wait. I always love this weekend anyway to hear, especially some of the great players that you grow up watching give their speeches and who they thank and all that. So I can't wait to hear, especially a guy that, you know, we're all so close to relative to other Hall of Famers in the past. It's going to be a lot of fun. What are the themes of the speech expected to be? Because I know you talked to him in the build-up to this. What do you think he's going to stress outside of just thanking a bunch of people?
Yeah, that's all he would say is just amazement and appreciation. I'm sure he is going to go through his life narrative, and I'm sure he'll thank his mother. And he'll thank his high school coach that when he was 16 years old, never played organized football before, discovered him laying bricks, essentially working on a driveway, had him come out, tried out, made the team on the spot. How he lost his eligibility to Akron because he was homeschooled and had to fight the NCAA to get back into school. How he was a third-round draft pick because he was 240 pounds soaking wet as a senior at Akron. You know, that was a time when tweeners didn't really exist in the NFL. We'll talk about all that. And he'll probably touch on being the Walter Payton Man of the Year in 2000, I believe, in 2007. Don't quote me on that.
Yes.
The importance of his community work was to his career. I think he's going to talk about all that stuff. Sadly, and this is one thing that he regrets, he will not be able to talk about winning a championship with the Dolphins. And that's one thing that haunts him. I don't know if we'll talk about it tomorrow or not, but you can really tell that is the one missing piece in his career. And he even said today, if he would come back as a coach and win a ring, it still wouldn't be the same. It really does haunt him.
Yeah, and we've heard similar sentiment from Dan Marino, but still a terrific career. Jason Taylor. Now, not that this is a new concept or anything. I mean, this happens every year, but I think it is really cool and very impressive to hear that so many of his former teammates and even former Dolphins that didn't play with him were going to be in attendance this weekend to support him.
Yeah, I think he's going to have certainly there's three active Dolphins that were given the okay to come up here. Mike Pouncey, John Denny, and, of course, Cam Wake. Assuming the Dolphins aren't about to, you know, sign a quarterback tomorrow, Chris Greer is going to try to come up. Those plans may have changed. I know Tom Garfunkel is going to be in the house. But you just go down the long list of people he played with, his contemporaries that are going to be there. There's too many to name. Plus, I think he has, since he played 20 minutes away, he's going to have 100 former teammates from the University of Akron in the house, too. So probably the loudest contingency tomorrow will be for Jerry Jones, because Cowboys fans travel better than anyone. But number two will probably be Jason Taylor, because he is the closest thing to a hometown guy they have.
Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins with the Miami Herald, 7 out of the tickets, Dolphins insider, joining us here. Now, you wrote about this, and this isn't something that, you know, I know it's come to light, I guess, to the rest of the public more recently, but it is kind of disappointing, I think, for Dolphins fans, and there's a lot involved in their personal lives that's led to this, but Zach Thomas will not be there.
No, and that was the most stunning thing to me was that Zach wasn't named as the presenter. It's going to be Jimmy Johnson and not Zach. So that was the first kind of warning sign. Then the second red flag was last week when we talked about a conference call, and he rattled off a list of former players, former teammates that'll be there, and Zach's name wasn't mentioned. So we started asking around. It turns out, no, Zach, for whatever reason, will not be there tomorrow. The invitation was extended by Jason. but Zach will not be there. I know it's been reported elsewhere that Jason and Zach's sister, who is Jason's ex-wife, have since split. So there's a lot to unpack there, a lot that I'm not privy to speak about. But it is sad that because those two were the, you think of late 90s, early 2000s Dolphins football, and those were the two. Those were the dynamic duo. And it just doesn't feel right to have one there without the other.
Yeah, I agree. I actually wonder, with all of that being said, and I don't want to get into all the details either because I think this should be a celebratory weekend for him and his career, but I wonder if Zach gets a mention, though, in the speech, despite, you know, perhaps them being apart friendship-wise because of recent events.
Yeah, I would hope so. You would think it would, but you really can't tell.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. By the way, I'm going to open this question up to our audience as the show goes on tonight, but I'm curious for you, and, you know, you've had the chance to be around him off the field as well, but is there a moment or a memory that you have of Jason Taylor that stands out above the rest, whether it be on the field or maybe an interaction that you've had along the way?
I mean, getting carried off the field is a guess, right? And he talked about that he was fighting off his teammates, did not want to do it, he did not want to be carried off the field, but he's so glad now that it happened. He got a win in his last game. He said that field was reserved for Don Shula and Dan Marino to be carried off. But that's not true. Jason Taylor means plenty to the franchise. He means more than enough to be honored in that way, and that'll probably be the memory I have going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific one. By the way, how was the Hall of Fame game last night? I saw some of the pictures you posted. It looked like you had a great vantage point.
Oh, the seats were fantastic, man. You couldn't beat them. No, it was a lot of fun for really bad football.
Right. Well, you got an up-close look at maybe a future Dolphins quarterback, depending on what happens, in Blaine Gabbert. Who knows?
I mean, there's a reason Blaine Gabbert beat out Colin Kaepernick last year, okay? I mean, that guy can deal.
Finally, Bees, just thinking ahead to tomorrow's scrimmage, I know you're not going to be there, but do you think that we'll see Gase dial things back a little bit because of the injury sustained this week?
I mean, they don't have any guys left, do they?
Well,
I mean, it's really worrisome. They're not going to be without Pouncey. They're going to be without Pouncey, obviously. Not going to have Larson. So, you know, two-fifths of your starting line gone right there. You really want to put – I mean, it doesn't sound like Cam Wake's going to play if he's flying up here. You really want to put all these guys at risk, particularly after the body blows you took. I mean, this is a disastrous a week as you can get for a team. They may just want to cut their losses and get to the preseason game.
Yeah, that's my thought process as well. For as much as Adam Gase, you know, spoke pretty boldly, on Monday, in which he said, hey, this is football, we want to go live and all this, I think he may be walking back a little bit on that just because, I mean, and you know, that's human nature as well. I mean, I might do the same thing if I were him, but we'll see. Hey, we want to encourage everybody to follow Adam on Twitter, at Adam H. Beasley. As he just mentioned, he's going to have an article out about Jason Taylor, kind of chronicling his background prior to tomorrow night's big event as JT will get inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Bees, enjoy the weekend up in Canton and chronicling everything, and look forward to seeing you when you get back.
Greg, I'm about to sit down at a steakhouse. You will not hear from me for a good 2 hours.
All right. Good luck. Do some work there, all right?
I will absolutely get the work done.
I think that has a double meaning. You're going to obviously do your job, but you're going to polish off some really good steak. I can just tell.
You know, think John Candy in the Great Outdoors. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Have a good one, Bees.
Later, bud.
All right. That's going to do it for us here on this Friday night. Big thanks to Adam Beasley for joining the program. Bronk, awesome to work with you again, man. So much to talk about tonight. It's been a fun one. And with that in mind, thanks to everyone who called, texted, and tweeted. It's been an active show. And stay tuned to 790 The Ticket to find out what happens with this Dolphins quarterback situation. In the meantime, coming up next, ESPN Radio. Have a good one, everybody.